the power of your love, for the spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thank you, thank you, I thank you, thank you. Thank you for the cross, I praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. I can thank you, thank you. Thank you for the cross, I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is my melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me.
Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies, sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is my melody. Sing a little louder, heaven come fight for me. Sing a little louder, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, it helps to be plugged in. I find that to be really helpful most of the time that I get up here. But I have a pretty loud voice, so I actually don't even need this thing, but I'll spare you. So, good morning. We're so grateful for your presence here today. And my name is Rachel Harris. I have the privilege of being your host this morning on Easter. And we just want to say welcome home. Whether this is your vacation home or your permanent home, God brought you into this service today for a reason, and we just want to honor that reason. Inside of your worship folder, you're going to see you've got this connection card. If you could take a moment to fill it out and tell us a little about you, anything you're comfortable sharing, and if you have any special prayer requests, something that is on your mind today, please let us know, because we would love to pray over you as your Christian family here at Hope on the Beach. And we also want you to worship in whatever way is meaningful to you. So feel free to stay seated. Feel free to rise, raise your hands to praise God. Run up and down the aisle if you need to. It's Easter. He is risen. So all the more reason for us to be joyous each and every day of our lives. Before we get started with today's message, we do have a call to worship. But first, I want to say good morning to any of you who may be watching online. If you're on our website, hopeonthebeach.com, or if you're on YouTube, wherever you are, happy Easter, good morning. Go down in the comments and tell us where you're watching from. You can download our worship folder on the homepage of hopeonthebeach.com. Let's rise, and we have a call to worship that I bet none of you have ever heard before, but it is the most important call to worship that we could ever say. So please say it with me. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Let's worship.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah! There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 'cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Sing that again. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in this house. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Sing that again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, I'm not afraid. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain,
hallelujah,
is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Sing that again. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Just the voices.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Lord, we can say that with our lips, we can sing it, and we can know it. And yet sometimes our heart can be far from it. And so, Lord, I pray that what we know that you'd bring deeper into our heart, into our life, that that be our reality. That we wouldn't turn to the left or the right or behind, but we keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on you. For you have risen. And risen indeed. And all God's people say, amen. You may be seated. If you'd like to get your outline, you can follow along. And some of you walked in here today carrying more than you expected. Not on the outside, but the inside. Fatigue, disappointment, that quiet sense that something in life isn't delivering the way you thought it would. And if we're honest, you've been trying to make it work. Hoping, maybe, this time will be different. But here's the tension. Deep down, we know, we already know some of the things we keep going back to actually don't give life. And here is where Easter meets us. Not with a suggestion, not with inspiration, but with a question that cuts through us. It says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Because if Jesus really rose from the dead, then this isn't just comforting news. It's news that confronts us. It means some of the places where we're looking for life are already dead. And it means real life is found somewhere else. So let's listen in to that very first Easter morning together recorded by Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of a sinful men and be crucified, on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Number one, in your outline, exhausted but still attached. They're exhausted but they're still attached. But on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, carrying spices. They loved Jesus. But they were not expecting him to be alive. They heard him say, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be killed, and on the third day be raised." They heard Jesus' words right from his lips. But they didn't trust his words. So they brought spices. Spices for burial. And if we're honest, that's not just their story. It's our story. We, too, are exhausted. And not just exhausted from being busy, we are exhausted. And that exhaustion that often turns into not just a tiredness, but a quiet disappointment. Not loud, not dramatic, just the steady undercurrent of, I thought life would be better. It'd be different by now. We thought life would have a lot less noise. No more of those voices in our heads. We thought life would at this point have less outrage. We thought less pressure to keep up and less of that constant feeling that life should be working better than it is. For some, the exhaustion has been building over the years. It's not just from a culture that's been shifting and changing, but from life itself. Because there has been numerous disappointments that keep stacking up. Things don't just turn out the way you thought. And there has been these losses, things you didn't plan for. Some that weren't supposed to happen this way. And there's been prayers that have gone unanswered. So you can spend your whole life just climbing that ladder and climbing and getting to the very top and be at the very top and still wonder at the top, is this it? See, we're exhausted and we're still attached. We still go back. We still go back to the things that are dead, thinking, maybe, just possibly, it will work. If I do it hard enough, eventually, it's going to work. So let me say this carefully. Some of the things you're attached to that you go back to don't even look sinful. They look responsible. They even look successful. And yes, some look incredibly spiritual. But if they are where you're looking for life, they still leave you empty. So you can build a great career and still feel hollow. You can raise a good family and still feel restless. You can serve in a church and still feel spiritually dry. Because none of these were meant to be your source of life. So just let me press in just a little bit here. Not to shame you, but to wake up your soul. What is the thing that you already know that doesn't give life that you keep going back to anyway. See, it's like that drawer in our house. You know that one, the junk drawer. You open it, and it's full of cords, chargers from phones you don't even own anymore. Some of those go back to the flip phone. And some are like, yeah, I still have one of those, just in case. Right? None of them work, but you don't throw them away. Why? Because somewhere in the back of your mind, you say, maybe this one will still work. And so you try again, and you twist it, and you hold it at an angle and move it around, and sometimes you hold it, and you're like, you don't even breathe because you're afraid to mess it up. And for a second, it like charges. You see the light, and you go, look, see, it works. And then it goes out, and it dies again. See, whether you are 25 or you're 75, that's what we all do spiritually. We keep plugging into things that have already proven they cannot give life. And what's crazier is we don't abandon the dead things. We revisit them. We manage them. We organize them. We even label them. Like somehow better organization will bring them back to life. See, number two is we know it is dead, but we keep going back. We keep going back. Jesus once said to a guy who had everything. He was rich. He was young. He had all sorts of power and authority in the world. And so he had everything the world could offer. And Jesus looks at him and he says, look, there's one thing you lack. One thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And the young rich ruler couldn't do it. So he turned back to his life, and he said he went away sad. See, we don't just return to what doesn't work. We return to what we wish would work. We so desperately want the world to work for us. Because if the world would work for us, then what does that mean? We get to be in charge. We get to be in control. We get to decide what is right and what is good. You get to do you. Now don't miss this. That's the moment. Not when it's obviously broken, but when life looks full and yet it still isn't. It's in that exact moment where you are tired, but you are attached to what doesn't work, that God speaks. Not to shame, not to crush you, not to wave a finger at you, but to wake up your soul. And he says, why are you seeking the living among the dead? See, that question assumes two things. One is that we are seeking life. We are looking and needing life from something besides us. And two, we're looking in the wrong place. And this has truly just been the human struggle that is part of the tension we live in. It's an old struggle. In fact, God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament about his chosen people, his holy nation, his Israelites, who he has rescued and displayed his almighty power and showed his faithfulness again and again to them. And yet, what did they do? Jeremiah records, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold no water." See, Jesus, God is the fountain of water. He is the living water, the abundant life that comes from him, and apparently not this mic. And yet, what do? They leave it and go try to make their own life, and yet it can't even hold water, the very foundation of life. It's death. And the Apostle Paul sees the same thing in the New Testament. He says this. He goes, "Because they exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." This is why we struggle. This is why we're exhausted, and because we're in this constant tension of choosing and with God and the world in which one we're going to kind of lean in. And we know it's empty. We really know it's not as good, but we keep going back to it. I mean, approval. That didn't satisfy, but we keep checking again. We keep scrolling, looking for more of it. Success that doesn't secure. But what do? We chase more. Well, if we just get to this level, we just get here, then we'll feel secure. And all we do is the higher we go, the more insecure we feel. And the comfort that doesn't heal us. And so we double down. For more to comfort, for more luxury, thinking if we just have more of it, then we will finally heal. It's the American answer. More, better, bigger, faster. It will work this time. And we get on the hamster wheel, and we're just running in place after one thing and another, and we are exhausted. Because it's disappointment upon disappointment upon disappointment, loss upon loss. And so be honest. What is it that you keep going back for? Where are you still thinking, maybe this time it'll be different? And here's what the extraordinary thing is. God doesn't ignore this. He confronts it. See, number three, there's a divine confrontation. There's a divine confrontation. God's messengers bring his word to us. And they don't come at the tomb to the ladies and say, "Look, we understand. You're broken. You're sad. You're grieving. You're tired. And so when you do that, you just make bad decisions. And you go to wrong things. And you'll finally discover when you finally get rest or you get help. And you'll finally lead your way to it." No, God doesn't do that. God confronts the situation. And he says, "Why? Why?" Why are you looking for life in a graveyard? And for some of you who think that's cruel and judgmental, but it's actually merciful. See, we don't just sin by doing wrong things. We sin by trusting the wrong things. We ask the created things to give us what only the Creator can give. And anything you look for in life apart from Christ, for to give you life, that is your God. And the news you already know, I need to tell you, is that God can't save you. At most, it has a little light of relief that leads right to death. But Easter confronts us. And it comforts us. And it says, there is one who can save you. And number four, the angels say, he is not here, he is risen. That's your cue. There we go. Let's try to. He's not here, he has risen. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is not just some feeling or some perspective. This is a fact. Paul writes about it. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. It means you're still condemned. You're born dead to sin. You're going to remain dead if Christ doesn't rise. But he continues, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. They're first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That key word, but changes everything. And what does it change? Paul writes in Romans 4, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. I don't know where you're at today, but I want you to know the tomb is empty whether you believe it or not. It's empty. And everything changes. The resurrection is not just God's great miracle. Look what he did. No, it is a verdict. It is a verdict being declared that although you are sinful and you deserve judgment and you deserve condemnation, God has stepped in for your sin. God has stepped in for your punishment through Jesus Christ. And it's paid in full. You're forgiven. Death defeated. You're not saved because you figured it all out. You're not saved because you let go of these other idols perfectly. You are saved because Christ walked out of that tomb.
Amen. Come on.
See, the same resurrection that confronts you and hits you in the face of your pride is the same resurrection that carries you in forgiveness. And that changes how we live. This is not just candy and games and hide and seek. You see, the resurrection, number five, frees you from half-hearted faith. The women who came, I'm sure they wanted to have faith, but they couldn't believe. It was a turning point for them. It wasn't the stone moved away, which that's pretty miraculous. That stone's pretty heavy. It wasn't that the guards were gone. It wasn't that the tomb was empty. It even wasn't because the angels were there. What turned and changed everything for them is what? They remembered his words. They remembered his words, and they believed, and they trusted his words. And the burden and all the things they were holding back and going back to, they threw it out. And what do? The women, who this is a major thing in his culture, for women to go and tell men what to do. I know that happens in America all the time, but not there. All right? And they go tell the leaders, guess what?
This is true. They run to him. They're free. They're not worried about their life, their own security, because they've been freed by looking back at dead things, and they found life, and they're going to go share it. This is what the church has always done. The Hebrews writer writes it, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, death, which clings so closely. Why? And let us then run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You cannot cling, you cannot run the race of faith and then also try to cling onto your sin and to the things that are dead and go back. You can't have both and do both. And this is why we think like that faith doesn't work. Because we're struggling, because we're in that tension, and we're trying to have both. Because just in case this really isn't working, I got this. I go to this. This is quicker. This is a good fix. I need a little joy. I'm not getting that from God. I got to go here just in case. And what we do is the weight that Jesus took to the cross and died and took away from us, we put back on us. And so we're tired. We're so tired. And what the resurrection reminds us and calls us to and gives us is that we're freed to see greater things. We're free to see greater things. See what happened when they realized the resurrection was true? The death that had a grip on them, the things that they were attached to, they were suddenly free from. They weren't bound to it anymore, and they ran and they took off. See, when the Holy Spirit comes and brings you the living work of Jesus, the one that's conquered death and conquered your sin, he comes into your heart and your life, and he conquers that sin in you, and he frees your heart from that bondage, that need. He changes your desires and the things you were holding tightly on and even defending, thinking that, oh, this is okay to have this sin. It's just a little pleasure of mine. It loosens the grip away and says, no. That's death. This is life. Paul reminds us, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Paul is saying, man, God has lifted you up out of your death and myrrh and muck and rescued you and put you in a place next to him who's seated at the right hand of God. You are no longer stuck managing this life and in this tension. You've been freed to live in Christ, with Christ. It's like someone who's been sleeping in a broken down house. And a new home has already been given to them. But they keep going back, checking out the old place, sitting in the old chair, living like nothing's changed. And Easter says, you have a new address. Stop going back. You have a new identity in Christ. Stop going back. See, Jesus, number 6, did not rise to be your backup plan. He rose to be your Lord. See, the resurrection is not an option to consider. It's not an option on the buffet of life and just one of the things that you can just consume and move on and just go consume other things. No, it is a thing that confronts us and says there is no other options. Which Easter becomes offensive. Easter is not some announcement that spring is here. It's an announcement that the King and the Lord of all is here and alive. He is not dead. He's conquered it. And all one day, we will be in front of that Lord where every knee will bow. Because, not because you believe, because you're in the presence of God and you will fall to your face. Amen. And this is why God gives commands to us. Because we are like a dog who will continue, as Proverbs says, return to its throw up. We will keep going back, think it's going to get better on the round two. I know it's a gross picture, but it's true, right? And this is why God commands some things that seem a little hard. Look at Luke 9. He says, Jesus said to him, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom." Now, before you recoil that or try to soften that, let me explain this. I mean, you are good parents. You know what a good parent is. No good parent would take their family to the beach and have little ones and say, "Just go play in the water." And have that little one be taken in an undertow and be pulled out, and then everybody comes and has to rescue them. And he gets rescued, and they bring them back to the parents. And that good parent would say, "Oh, you're good. Go do what you want to do. You can go back in the water." No good parent would do that. You'd want to protect your child. You want to make sure they don't get harmed, and you would put guards, and you'd be out there, and all these different things you would do. Well, God's the same. And God's just not trying to protect you physically. He's trying to protect you mentally, emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually. He's saying, look, don't go back. Because if you go back, if you even look back and you give a place in your heart, you let your eyes see it and let you get into your heart, that little thing that you keep around, that pet stuff that you keep turning back to, it is dangerous. It is poison to you. It is death, and it will lead you down destruction and death, not just physical, but eternal. She says, keep your hands here. Take it by faith and hold on. Because this is where life is. For anything you look at for life apart from Christ will eventually ask you to carry it. In other words, the thing that you turn to, the things that gives you that relief, that gives you that control, that power, the thing that you think that you rule over, eventually will rule over you. And it will enslave you. And it will take you down darker roads that you never, ever want to go to. But your heart was just open, it takes you. Because you got attached. See, number 7. This is why Jesus says, seek the kingdom, not the grave. Seek the kingdom, not the grave. See, Peter runs to the tomb of hearing these words. He looks in, he sees the linen cloths. And it says he marveled. And he marvels. Like, he's kind of astonished by it all. Like Jesus did what he said he did. What do you marvel at? Do you marvel at the fact that we put a rocket in space again? Do you marvel at the college basketball and seeing what they do and how they do on the highlight reels? And you're just like, wow, that's amazing. I don't know how they do all this stuff, but it's great. I love to enjoy it. Watch it. And sometimes it seems so unreal, but you know it's real. You know it all happened. But you just go, well, we marvel at it because it's just beyond us. It's beyond our abilities and sometimes our understandings. So we marvel at it. And I think we often treat Easter and even God's word of promise the same way. It's true. Many of us Christians will say, well, it's true. We know it's true. And it's amazing stories and amazing things that God has done in Scripture. But I just don't believe they're for me. It's beyond me. I mean, I can marvel at it. I could say it's amazing and true, but I just don't think it's for me. And perhaps there's some doubt, and perhaps fear, and maybe perhaps shame, because we just don't think we're worthy of it. And we're like Peter. We see it, we marvel at it, and then we just go home. We just go back to normal. But the good news is, Jesus loves you the way you are, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. And he comes to you. And he came to Peter. And he showed himself to Peter, and he showed his love to Peter, and he gave forgiveness to Peter. And then he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep. Which basically says, if you love me, Peter, and you know this is true, then trust me. Believe in me. Rest in me. And follow. See, Jesus is intervening in our lives again and again to wake us up. To move us away from dead things that can harm us. And he says, would you just believe me? Would you just trust in me? Would you rest in me? And so in the midst of his teachings, he's talking about worry and stress and anxiety, which we all experience. And Jesus once again comes into our mess and he gives us a command for clarity. As a good father. And he says, look, you're all stressed out. You're all in tension. You're all feel divided because stress and worry is a heart that's divided between God and somebody else and another master. And we are just torn inside. And he says, you want to get rid of that tension? You want to get rid of that and have peace? Here's what you do. Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. In our last church we planted, went really well and it was going great. And then God called us out to say, I want you to plant another church. And so we stepped out of that church. The only problem is God didn't have the other church ready for us. And so we didn't have jobs. We had 3 kids. Bills. And so we got other jobs, but they didn't pay as much. And life was incredibly hard for all of us. And so Christy's mom came from Florida, came up to the house in Michigan in the winter. So you know it was bad. And she noticed it was bad. She goes, you know what I want to do? I want like a good mom. She just wants to cook a good meal, a comfort meal, and just to love on us. And so we went to work that day, and she was going to go to the grocery store, but it snowed. And Florida people should never drive in snow, right? But God, in his goodness, you know what he did? He moved on somebody's heart, and somebody bought groceries that day and delivered them to our house without any communication. And it was the exact groceries she wanted to cook the meal for us. And God has done that in so many ways and times. See, God desires you to marvel at how much his word is not just true, but how much it's true for you. For you. They're not just old stories. They're stories so you know his story for you. See, the tomb didn't hold Jesus. And it doesn't hold you anymore either. Jesus said, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Jesus keeps his word, and his word is alive. The women's lives changed because they remembered his word. They trusted his word. And where does the risen Christ meet people? Not in a grave, not in their effort, not in their searching. He meets them in his living word, the Bible. And he meets us right now, right here. Jesus is not asking you to go find him somewhere out there. He's here now. You have heard it. You have received it in his word. The same voice that says he's not here, he is risen, is speaking to you and calling to you. Not for you to go manage your life, to fix yourself, to try harder, but to simply trust him. Believe in him. Rest in him. And to stop going back to what cannot live. Stop searching where life cannot be found. Stop keeping your backup just in case Savior. See, Jesus didn't rise to be your backup plan and your just in case. He rose to be your Lord. For as the Lord, he speaks, he calls, he forgives, he gives life. And today, through his word, he is seeking you. He's confronting you to believe and to trust. You've heard the gospel. Christ died for your sins. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is Lord. Easter is not a feeling we celebrate. It's a victory we live under. And here's the question. It's not the question where you like it or not. The question is where you believe it or not. See, faith works by hearing, and you've heard it right now through the living word of Jesus. Jesus is not distant. Jesus is present. Jesus is here, and Jesus is already in your heart. You don't have to open it. He's there. And so you have two choices. You can reject it and keep trying to build your life on your own and still live with the same quiet disappointment, and you can try to get bigger, badder, faster, and try to hush that voice that's going to stay there. Or, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can just say yes. Yes, I believe. And yes, by your Spirit, I will trust in you. And I will believe that what you have done is not just history, it's not just for somebody else, but it's for me. That's your choice today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your work that you do. And we thank you for the gift of your word, your living word. The living word that came and took on flesh. And the living word that showed who you are and what you are and your love and your grace and did the work for us and went to the cross and defeated death and Satan to give us life. Through these simple, unspectacular words, simple means, you say, here is life. So what's the response? It's yes. It's to repent. It's to turn away from our ways to his. And so God, we confess our sins. We confess to the places that we've turned that are wrong places, the places we put our trust in. Places that are of death, but we call life or justify it because we want a God who fits in the world, who looks like the world, so we can be accepted, where our only true acceptance is ever going to come from you. And so, God, we ask for your grace. God says, He is faithful. For if we confess our sins, He will forgive us of all our sins and wash away our unrighteousness. And God washes it away. He remembers it no more. He cleanses you from the things that cling on you. So why? You don't have all this stuff attached to you, but you have a renewed heart in Him that is full of faith that can take hold of the life He gives. And so, Father, we thank You. And we profess that faith that You bring us in, the one true faith that is of the apostles, these words of life of You. And so together, I invite you to profess your faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of body, and a life everlasting. Amen. And so, Father, we come in that great conference of faith of who You are and what You've done, that You have given us access, that You hear our prayers. And You invite us to cast them onto You and to trust You that You will answer them in Your way, which is better, and in Your time. And so, Father, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Not by what we have done, but only by the blood of Jesus, amen? But then because of our faith, we love, we serve, we sacrifice. Inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you'd like to give today, you can place your offering in this envelope. You can also use our text to give number or give online at hopeonthebeach.com. All of this is outlined in today's worship folder. And we also invite you to take a look at the back of our connection card if God has moved you today. We have some boxes there that you can check. We'd love to pray over you if you're interested in serving. And then also, we want to make sure you guys know you are invited to our Lighthouse dinner. That's going to be on April the 25th, which is a Thursday. And that is a way to get to know our church, what we're all about, and become a part of the movement, which is bringing hearts to Jesus every single day. And you'll see all of our Hope happenings on the schedule that is there on the back of your worship folder. And of course, you can stay connected with us on social media and also on hopeonthebeach.com for all of our events. At this time, if you would like to take your offering envelope and then also your connection card, you can put them in the plates on your respective side, and we are going to continue our worship.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up. your power and love, sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love, as we sing holy, 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 holy.